When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Gerhardt's back.
The more things change, the more they stay the same.
From NJ1015.com, this is the new Jim Gerhardt Podcast.
Oh, hello. No, this is not Statler and Waldorf. This is Bob and Jim. Remember them? It just dawned on me. They turn a camera. Remember the old guys on the Muppet Show? Wasn't that what their name was? Statler and Waldorf.
The guys up in the corner box?
Up in the box. Yeah. Two old geezers.
You know, just like making random comments.
You know, when I got up this morning, I said, this is crazy. There's absolutely nothing to talk about. There's nothing, of any great interest. All of a sudden, it seems like stories fell like ripe fruit from the trees. Mm-hmm. I love the Sussex County story. This has to do with the election. The Sussex County voters overwhelmingly, 67% is a very high margin, in a sense told Governor Murphy to stuff it. Mm. Part of his sanctuary state plan, which is ordering law enforcement people to lay off cooperating with the federal authorities. Mm-hmm. I thought the ballot question said, should the Board of Chosen Freeholders of the County of Sussex cooperate and make reasonably available to United States immigration enforcement agents the tools, resources, personnel, and real personal and intellectual property owned by the county under its direct control? The voters voted 67% yes. Hmm. And this is in direct violation of the directive that came from the Attorney General's right. office, sort of tying their hands in that regard. But there's other things going on, too. This, it struck me as the worm could be turning and the sheep growling back at the wolves who are circling the wolf fold.
Well,
here,
at least in the far
wolves.
Northwest part of the state, the hinterlands.
Yeah, but no, it's not just there. Ocean County.
Ocean.
I looked up more information about this. Ocean County filed a federal lawsuit in September challenging the state's directive as unconstitutional. Cape May County officials, you don't get any further south than that, filed their own federal lawsuit in October calling the policy a violation of the Constitution. And Cape May County, in its suit, said the directive is intentional interference by the Attorney General, consequently the governor, which impedes law enforcement's ability to do their job and keep county residents safe.
Oh, the sheriff, now he's been in the news, right?
Yeah.
He's been very vocal about that.
The Warren County, go back up north
right,
again.
Right, next to Sussex.
Yeah, unanimously backed a resolution, again, in the same direction. And in September, the Toms River Township Council passed a similar resolution.
So you're talking about, a total of about four or five counties that are really stepping up against it.
And it's certainly spread over the state. Hmm. But anyway, I thought that was a very interesting story. Yeah. That certainly got my attention.
The veterans bill, that passed.
Yeah.
Did we talk about how do you feel about that as a veteran?
Well, no, the only once in the 26 years we were covering New Jersey minutely. Only one public question ever failed, and that was because Steve Lonergan had organized a campaign against it. Mm. And it should have failed because it was a usual handout of taxpayer money to somebody who had done nothing meritorious to earn it except support the administration. People always vote yes on that. I have no problem with it if they want to do it. As we said last week, it was rather vague. That I not get into the whole
they basically wanted to allot $250 for each individual veteran
who was in a nursing home now, but this was not going directly to that veteran. It would go to the home itself.
To the home itself, too.
And there was no control over what it was going to be spent. It was to help defray the cost of their
But it's not like the guys, veterans are getting $250 a month for razor blades.
Exactly. They don't get, the veterans do not get $250 to go down to the Gedunk and buy themselves something pleasant that they should have. Okay, it just goes on
and
on.
And Eric Scott just had a great article he just posted. Yeah. Make sure you check that out at NJ1015.com with his election post-election analysis and how Eric predicts that the feud between Governor Murphy and Senate President Steve Sweeney is going to be rekindled. And now that the election is over and it's time to take off the gloves again.
Well, I think next week, be sure to tune in here because we will be offering as our door prize, some lucky person in the audience will get a Steve Sweeney, Phil Murphy friendship ring. We'll be giving those out gratis to people. Now, I missed some of this. I voted. Did you vote?
I vote every election.
There's an old cliche that's saying, well, if you didn't vote, you have no right to gripe. That I find to be totally absurd.
because
I go in there and vote, and I had no choice on most of the issues that were on the ballot. So why can't I gripe?
And I was surprised that in my district that there was several positions that ran unopposed. The candidates were running unopposed, so it's like...
So again, I got in, very nice people. Nobody else was there to vote. I think there was a lady and I were the only people in the building. And so the people couldn't have been more gracious, the poll workers. So they pull back the curtain and I go in and I stood there for a second. I said, what am I doing? Why don't I turn around and go back? Hmm. And then the second thought is, the ridiculous thing, why don't I write Pee Wee Herman in on all of it? And then I finally took a look at it and said, okay, it took about two pushes.
Yeah.
And I loved the one for school board, and it had two names listed. Mm-hmm. And it said, you must vote for two.
You must?
Well, why I mean, you could write in.
You can vote up to two, I guess.
No.
Oh, you must vote.
There were only two candidates.
Okay.
And it said, vote for two.
Okay.
There was no opposition is what I'm saying at all. There's no choice.
Okay.
So, what's the point? Anyway, be that as the point. Be that as it may, we fulfilled our commitment and voted. Jack, we certainly invite your questions, your comments. Yeah. Poke a stick in our cake.
Any surprises in your town that we should share with everybody else? I heard that Union County went a little bit more Democratic in traditionally strong Republican holds in Cranford and Westfield. They lost the... They lost control, as well as Mercer County, Hamilton, longtime Republican stalwarts here, went Democrat. So that's just a turning of the tide a little bit, but there's a lot of fight back. I mean, looks like the Assembly gained a couple of seats than they did.
That's what surprised me. You know, everybody's yelling. The Republicans are saying, wow, boy, what a great election we had. We're back. And the Democrats are, Steve Sweeney says, you know, we got our butt kicked. But in what? I mean, you're talking about one or two seats.
Right. You still have
the overwhelming majorities of Democrats.
Right.
So I suppose you can still wake up the day after the election and say, welcome to the Democratic People's Republic of New Jersey. Mm. Because it's again, like a one-party system here. What is your idea of why? I will ask you why. I have some ideas that have very little to do, really, with issues of the campaign. Mm. And I think one thing, the Republican Party in New Jersey has become, well, not only static, but downright dull.
Mm.
And there seems to be very little dynamics involved in it, not to mention the fact that they do not have any sort of leadership that would really excite the imagination.
Right.
Yeah,
people may be frustrated, but they have nowhere else to turn, or the Republican Party is not giving them a viable reason to come to them.
The parties have sort of gotten away. I think the fundamental difference in a conservative and a liberal, and I say liberal, the progressives have gone way beyond that, but one fundamental difference is traditionally the conservatives, which have been associated with the Republican Party, consist of people who are all for self-responsibility. Yes. In other words, I can handle myself. I will take care of myself. I don't need a government.
I need limited assistance from the government. Yes.
The liberal, on the other hand, is not comfortable with that, and he wants nowadays you see, especially the younger ones. You want mommy and daddy because you're still probably, you know, living in a root cellar or something.
Right.
But
until you're 35 or 40.
But the size of government there and the extent to which government controls your life Does anybody, this is a problem, it's national too, I think. Who could run as a Republican in New Jersey, which you have to do, the independent candidates are great, but they don't really get anywhere because they're not funded
yes.
as much as the others. Who is there for to who could run as a Republican? Who are the big names?
John Bramnick, but I think he just barely.
John Bramnick was probably the name that would pop up. He's the minority leader.
I believe so. Yeah.
In the mm-hmm. Okay, Doug says you have one choice, and that's to leave New Jersey.
Doug.
Hey, Doug, and let the socialistic liberal politicians turn the sanctuary state into a third world country. You know, there's a temptation to do that, Doug, but there's also a temptation just for laughs to sit around and watch it and be here and observe it and sit back and just shake your head. Andre, Republicans in New Jersey and nationwide have long had this strategy for getting Democrats to switch over. Vote for us, and we'll do the same things the Democrats are doing. But when they find out it's not done quite as well, it's very hard to do. I came on. The reason I was thinking about these Statler and Waldorf, the two old geezers, on because it was seen to me that the Republican Party is getting the almost the image, especially in younger voters' mind, of being Statler and Waldorf. Mm. These two old guys sitting up there complaining about the government.
Dan, stop laughing at us.
So I don't know the answer to the question, but you get back to Eric's piece here, which I sort of interrupted. You were going
No.
It's an excellent piece, as Eric always says.
Definitely check it out. It's on the website and on the app, nj1015.com. Sweeney basically said, we lost. We blew it. And he's going to keep standing up against taxes every day, raising taxes every day. That's his stance for the party. And
there were strong words that Sweeney
absolutely.
came, saying that Murphy had no reason at all to be optimistic about this whole
thing. But definitely Eric's article is a must read because he's got such great insight. He's been around this chicanery for over 25 years, so he knows exactly what's going on.
We all jumped into the fracas together at the same time. So that will, I think, I hope it works so that there will be a Democratic primary in which Sweeney can run against this governor.
No, I hope so,
too. But Sweeney has one problem, and it's possible that he could have been elected governor now. Mm. The problem he has was back in the early days of the Christie administration, Steve Sweeney, as a union president, real world union, not the enchanted kingdom of the public workers' unions, he had cooperated to some extent with Christie in an attempt to rein in this tsunami, this avalanche of benefits and entitlements that kept rolling out in order to get the union vote.
And he
lost the support of the union, and for some reason or other, they still seem a little bit bitter about this. But Sweeney could see it from the union side. I talked on the air with people again in these unions while these government workers' unions were cleaning up. These people were tough. The Carpenter and Joiners Union, which is a group that I had admired. As a male, all men love woodwork for some reason or other. And tools. If you give a man a tool, whether he knows what to do with it or not, man, he loves you. But anyway, that's sort of a soft spot for the carpenters and joiners. And the leader, the national leader that I talked to, is almost in tears. They could not afford to keep up with that with their workers. In some cases, they even had to suspend benefits because their benefits depended not on raiding the Treasury through support for votes or support. It had to be in productivity. And things just weren't going terribly well, that time. Same thing with Steve Sweeney's union, not that bad, the iron workers. But he cooperated, and at the time he even said that this has gone too far, it's got to stop, it's got to be reined in. Now it's going the other direction again because Governor Murphy owes his success to a large extent to the support of the public workers' unions, and he's even talking about now more. Well, how much more can you give? What is the $65 billion or so underfunded in the pension system because they keep giving it away? Anyway, Look at Eric's piece. But maybe there's a good fight at dawning there that, that we will enjoy. Yeah. Oh, there was a good story. Can we do a good story?
We need some good news, yes.
Okay, this is a story that says New Jersey is the third best place in the country to live.
Oh, okay.
See, I think New Jersey is the first best state in the country to live if you can afford it.
Hmm.
And that seems to be the popular wisdom here, the state, that it's a great place to live. It has everything. Now,
it's got the four seasons. It's got we're in close proximity to the shore, to the ocean, to the mountains, to the city, to culture. We got a
sports.
Lot going for us. Yeah.
Okay. This analysis found New Jersey the third best state in the country in which to reside. Among the things they say they found, New Jersey has a very low poverty rate. The sixth longest life expectancy. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
No, I didn't know that.
That's encouraging.
We've got some great medical care here.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Best in the country.
The unemployment rate in New Jersey is about the national average. This is their finding. New Jersey has a very low poverty rate. Poverty is a good marker for a lot of things. A good marker for health, access to good food, and education. Mm-hmm. Other New Jersey positives are higher average income and low crime rates. Now, you can agree with these or not, but that's an outsider's thing. And they say the same thing goes for pretty much most of the northeastern states. You want to know who they are? Okay, according to them, the number one, you could quarrel with much of this, Massachusetts,
mm-hmm.
where the taxes are outrageous.
Right.
Colorado.
Oh, Colorado's big. Legalized marijuana, open spaces, the Colorado Rockies.
Hawaii.
Hawaii, very expensive, though. Very beautiful paradise.
Connecticut,
really? Very expensive. And the governor's not making it any cheaper up there with all the tolls that he's planning on the highways, on 95 and all of those
roads. They took the tolls down a couple of years ago because people... it was a good idea to take it. People kept ramming in and having accidents, hitting the toll booth.
Yes, that's
in
what
Connecticut,
they took them out.
I don't know
but
why.
But now that they've got these overhead detectors now, they can... they can toll any road they want.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire, that's beautiful up there. Yeah, beautiful up there.
Washington. I know a lot about Washington State. Washington State was when I was there anyways. Mm-hmm. It was some time ago. A great place to live. Yeah. Wonderful people out there. And Virginia.
I can see that.
Which... I'm surprised.
Did we bypass? Did you say Minnesota? That's on the list.
Oh, did I say? Okay, Minnesota's
number six.
I've been bypassed.
How did Minnesota get on the list?
I don't know.
I mean, aside from 3 months a year, who the heck wants to live in Minnesota? Unless you like that.
I think if you were very, very liberal in your views, Minnesota apparently is a great place for that. Mm-hmm. Why? I don't know the answer to that one. Let's get to some. I want Dan to help. Dan Alexander, our ace writer. Dan, are you available?
Yeah.
For a second? This is an interesting story you were telling me about. I didn't know. You had written the story up for the station, though, about the party in which two kids apparently dressed what was considered to be inappropriately at a private party.
Mm-hmm.
But now the school is weighing in.
Yes.
On this, assuming that it's like their responsibility, if something had happened at somebody's house at a private party, nobody would have known about except the kids being kids put it on Facebook.
Right. They put a picture up of the kids. They put them up on social media of the. It was a one teen was dressed in as a cowboy.
Cowboy.
He had a hat and a bullwhip, and he was next to another boy who was dressed in blackface.
Mm.
And they said it was a slave and a slave owner.
They said that in the text to the.
Well, people that posted it, that's what they assumed it was. Now, some people have said no. They said he was supposed to be a cowboy, not necessarily a slave owner, and that the two that went to the party didn't know each other when they went. In other words, they didn't plan this costume together. That they just happened to take a picture together, and that's what got out there.
But, okay, so it was a very unwise thing to do nowadays. Right. I should think the kids would have known.
And the school stepped up.
But the problem is not that, because I think their parents could take care of that. Now the school's involved, and the school is getting what the police involved in it.
Well, the school's the superintendent. She put a letter out saying that that there was law enforcement involved. I'm not sure of the extent of the law enforcement, but the school has a very strong diversity policy. So the teacher, the superintendent, had some meetings yesterday, small group meetings yesterday with the students at the school, and they're going to continue discussions about diversity and inclusion, and just that the school doesn't stand for hate. And that kind of behavior is unacceptable. It's offensive, and that's kind of the message that they're trying to bring home. They just want to kind of reinforce what's been an ongoing message at the school. They're just trying to reinforce.
But they had nothing to do with the school.
Well, you're absolutely right.
That would. I have a piece. Boy, is this playing into something ultra super progressive by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, in which I cannot find the piece now. When I get to it, I will read their decision. In a somewhat similar case, and they ruled that the function of the school can get involved in these things because the function of education is not just teaching, and they mentioned science and math and the like. It is establishing the moral, ethical
character integrity
of the students, and it's not the parents' responsibility.
24/7.
I mean, that is just totally flies in the face of everything we've always believed.
Well, yeah.
I mean, this should be something. If the I don't know who wanted to get the police involved. This was posted on Facebook. Now, some organization or group.
No, it was just the superintendent in her letter stated that law enforcement was involved.
Well, nobody would say that. It's none of your damn business. except, well, I guess we did. we just finished doing that. Anyway, here you are, and nobody will probably tell them to, you know, Budowski.
No one, I haven't seen any opposition to what the superintendent has did or her plan.
So you're saying that these two individuals that went to this party, one was dressed as one costume, mm-hmm. and one was dressed as another.
Independently,
and they just came, just happened to run into each other.
Well, keep in mind, we don't know it. We don't really know the circumstances of the picture being taken, but there was a lot of comments on the social media.
Well, no, the kids took the picture.
The kids commented on social media.
Said, hey, this was a great party. Here's some pictures from it.
Exactly.
Something like that. Here we are.
Yeah.
But again, I thought it was so coincident with the Court of Appeals ruling, right, that in a California case, had nothing to do, I think, with race, but it was the fact that it was a decision. It came down to whether the parents had control over what indoctrinating kids, I guess, right, in their moral values, or the school system, mm-hmm. and they came down on the side of the school system. Mm-hmm. Well, I would say, look, the kids should have known that. No matter how they felt or what leanings their parents may have had or allowed that they picked up, they should have known that nowadays that makes some people unhappy. And there's absolutely no point in going out of your way to make people unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And if it offends somebody, I hate to use the word offense because that's sort of artificially applied to anything. But if this is something that there are
right.
strong
they
feelings about,
they should be very, very sensitive about what they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know how old these students were, but you would hope that
they're probably still. I don't know their ages, but.
They're seniors.
They probably still have not figured out that anything you do is going to end up,
right.
Anything compromising is going to eventually end up. Now, this was sent, it was put on Facebook, I guess it was. It was circulated to friends, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Well, one of them, apparently, somebody saw it and blew the whistle.
A lot of people out there with the gotcha mentality, they just want to make something out of it. Maybe, you know, who knows? Who knows? Was there horrible intent involved, or was it just an innocent, you know, costumes? Who knows? But you're absolutely right that, you know, overall we just need to be very sensitive about
and
parents need to step in.
I'm trying
and
to
just say, hey, that's not a good idea. Yeah. Do you realize
social media also is very empowering?
Yes.
That
you know you can sit in your basement or in your den or your wherever you're doing it, and you can.
You can
put stuff up on social media and you have a very wide audience in a very short amount of time.
You can inflame opinion, absolutely.
You know, I'm trying to think of define this business about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling, because it's so interesting. I believe I'm doing this from memory now. I have to paraphrase. I believe it was the schools. This was a middle school or an elementary school in California. A couple of them had mandatory questionnaires. They asked the kids. The kids in school had to do these, but it had things on there like, "Have you had a sexual experience?" It would be with the same sex, other sex. I mean, it was really bad yeah. stuff to ask kids. And it got into some very intimate things like that that the kids have no business being asked. But parents objected. That was the thing. And there were some other things on the questionnaire that were as bad or worse. And so some of the parents got together and they went into court to stop the school system from giving out, from requiring this questionnaire. And that's when it got up to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, who ruled that no, it was the school's responsibility to inculcate young minds with ethical right. values, not the parents. Right. Eddie, now, that's not a 180-degree turn away from what's been going on since the dawn of civilization. I don't know. But there we are.
Eddie's got a good comment to what we're talking about. Why would they involve the law on this with the costumes? And the school has nothing to do with the kids yeah. who dressed inappropriately. Sometimes Eddie thinks that people are offended so easily. Racism is a very ugly thing, but the word is being thrown around like it means nothing. People yeah. need to grow up.
Well, it's kind of a weapon. People have realized that you're being attacked by a bull elephant. You point at him and yell racist, he'll drop dead in his tracks. It's a weapon that is used. And I think what Eddie says is fine. Nobody, and also the fact that people are generally decent. Nobody wants to be called a racist.
Right.
Well, a racist, you see, it has evolved the term. The term originally meant that anybody who maintains that one race is superior to another, consequently, and that one race is inferior to another. Now, that is pretty, covers a lot of ground.
Right. Pretty straightforward.
But it's fairly straightforward and easy to understand. Now, racism is disagreeing with any person of any race about anything at any time over any matter. And as Carl Rowan, a great, he was an African-American journalist who's passed now, but he was a columnist some time ago, and he was speaking about this sort of thing. And Carl Rowan said, it's a shame, but racial paranoia is making everybody crazy. Anyway, enough of that. We're going to move to... Yeah. What's another good story that... let's see.
Oh, you want to talk about food cleanliness? Do you hear about that hepatitis outbreak up in Somerville at the ShopRite?
Vaguely, I saw a...
Apparently a deli worker or a food service person came down with hepatitis, and anybody who frequented the ShopRite deli over the last month should be tested, and I think they were giving inoculations yesterday outside the store, and it was overwhelming, and they got overrun with requests to have inoculations and things. I don't know about you, but I try to stay away from prepared foods at supermarkets, delis, things like that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I used to frequent it quite a bit, but...
Yes, I remember that.
No, but, I mean, just for convenience and stuff, yeah. but... just recently, I mean, and the trend is for people to use that as a convenience, because you're going to see a lot of we've spoken about this. Mm-hmm. Most of the square footage at these stores are being dedicated to pre-made grab-and-go foods, because people yeah. don't have time. They choose to use the prepared foods. But on that side, I think it's a nice idea. But have you seen some of the people that frequent those food bars?
You know,
they don't have the best manners, Jim.
I don't, because I don't go near that. I do not eat prepared food of any kind from any place.
But and there's some decent food there. I mean, they have some entrees for dinner and, you know, chicken and things like that. But you got to ask yourself, who made that food, and who's serving the food, and who's putting the food in their trays or whatever, and are all forms of cleanliness
and
being
who's
followed.
Getting hepatitis,
right? And are you going to get hepatitis if you partake in that? I mean, you got people in there with all kinds. They have no manners, some of these people that are, you know, going to those hot and food cold bars and the salad bars, and
really?
It's like, you know, they're tasting stuff, they're using the same utensil to, grab a couple of different salads, mm-hmm. it's probably not the most cleanly situation for yourself.
That's fortunately, I don't have to endure that because I don't go near that.
Eat at home. You've got the right idea.
Well, I got a shipment of buffalo steaks coming in this afternoon.
No hepatitis.
Midwest.
No hepatitis problems there, right?
I have no idea.
Let's hope.
You can't trust anybody. Oh, and that's another thing. See, I try to get into organic foods. Now, you're assuming that organic foods are grown without the poisonous additives and all. And then it turns out that there's so many loopholes in that, laws governing that, that in many cases it doesn't make the least bit of difference.
Yeah.
And I had a good piece, I wish I could pass it on, I don't remember here, that on somebody who had done a study of that. And it turns out that in foods that are allowed to label themselves organic, it's a staggering figure. I'm not kidding. There were something like 6,000 different types of
insect
killers. And
that is an abuse of that term.
They can use
organic, and yeah, just another reason for you to charge more money. So, I mean, bananas. Do you eat bananas?
Oh, yes.
Now, do you buy the organic bananas?
I do, but I don't see any reason for it except the price is no different at the store I go to.
Well, it's like maybe 10 cents more for a bundle.
Well, I can't imagine them. Do they spray banana trees? I can't imagine.
I don't know, but I will tell you. You put an organic banana next to a regular banana, the organic banana ripens and spoils a lot faster than the one that's been sprayed.
Well, that says something.
And I noticed that you have to get to the store early because the organic bananas go before the regular bananas.
Doug says, now they're giving out free hepatitis shots.
Yes,
people
they are.
People will line up, whether they're in the store or not, to get something for free.
Good point, Doug.
That's another interesting thing. Just going back for a quick second, we're wondering about people voting, you know, largely Democratic, which is the progressive tail is wagging the Democratic Party. The fact of most Democrats, certainly ones that I know, don't go along with this outrageous stuff anyway.
Yeah.
But there they are. I was going to continue with Doug's. The giving out. Oh, that was the story. I've told that a number of times. The survey that was done among college kids, asking them what political system they preferred.
Socialism.
And they would prefer socialism over this Republican system or Democratic system or what have you. And they ask again why. And one was, well, a socialist system, they encourage socializing. And the other, the second biggest one, in the socialist system, you get free stuff. And that's what's determining our government here. I want to do something. I think we're running short here, Bob. There's so many things to talk about. But I had mentioned this. I don't know if you mentioned it when you were talking with Bill this morning. There is a new forbidden word.
What is that?
It is the B word.
The B word. A couple of things come to mind, but tell me where you're going.
Well, I'm not sure I should say it. It's the okay. I'll
give me the second letter.
I'll read the story.
Okay.
A Massachusetts lawmaker is introducing legislation making it a crime to call someone a bitch. Mm-hmm. Democratic Representative Daniel Hunt. I'm surprised he's a Democrat. His bill, which free speech advocates say is clearly unconstitutional. Well, so are most of the bans on speech, so right, that shouldn't stop him. It would classify as a disorderly person anyone who uses the word bitch to annoy, denigrate, or accost another person. Offenders can be fined and are jailed for up to 6 months. Now, what if you are a veterinarian and generally use that term regarding a female dog?
Right, right.
And that always annoyed me when they called the dog that, because I like the word as a pejorative. But you have to put that on the list.
Does it depend on how you use the term, as a verb or like a denigrating comment to someone else?
Yeah, well, it says it as a denigrating content.
Can you say my commute this morning was a real bitch? Can you say that?
I don't know.
I just did. I don't know if I'm
you
able to.
You just better watch your... Well, it's not the law yet.
Right, okay, so we might as well get it in while
we can. Where is this? I got to do this. I know we're running short here. And maybe more of this on another time. Do you realize now they're going to stop using the term Latino for people of Latin American ancestry?
Really?
I am not kidding you. Progressive activists have persuaded politicians, marketers, and the media, then in referring to people with Hispanic heritage, they should use the invented word Latinx rather than Latino. Latinx? Why? Because the activists say the gendered nature of Spanish nouns is unfair. Because of the O ending on Latino, that implies it's a male ending.
Right.
And we cannot have that.
And you got the AS for the females. Oh, brother.
Oh, it is also sexist and transphobic?
What?
What? Well, if you're going to do the transgendered thing, then what, you wouldn't have anything on the, or you'd have 16 different letters on the end of it.
You I don't would even have know to how
say, I'm a Latino SPCQZ minus 4 over the square root of pi, or, you know, whatever.
Getting a little much, wouldn't you say?
Oh, God. There was some pushback on this because in an article, a USA Today article, they had a Latino person who proudly describes himself as that, saying the very way our families speak is fundamentally inadequate to the progressive American culture. Okay, so we'll see. Latinx?
I got one more.
I got one more quick thing. I hope I'll make it quick. Dan, you got anything for us?
No.
I'm asking if there's anything reasonable up on the table here. That we have.
No, I'm just going along with what you're following
your
lead.
Okay. This is in Connecticut, and...
Oh, I see what you're going for.
Are you familiar with this story?
Yeah, a little bit. If it's the same story, yeah.
Okay, Connecticut Athletic Conference is allowing students born as males to compete as females in the track events. And naturally, they are cleaning up. Now, these are not transgendered people. In the state of Connecticut, they say they're running the girls right off the track, and some of the girls and their advocates are complaining about this. Trans runners have won 15 track championships to none for girls. Now, for biological reasons, boys are faster than girls. Now, here's the rub. They do not have to have any even therapy or anything going or have anything going to become. They simply state. You know, actually, I feel more like a boy today. So
I'm going to play on the girls' track team.
And go out and win.
I'm going to go play for the girls' basketball team.
And the parents are saying our daughters should not have their athletic opportunities stolen from them. Of course not.
A couple of stories out there that some of these, you know,
they say
members
no matter,
of the girls
no matter
track
what you want to call yourself, they say that early exposure to testosterone gave them larger muscles and stronger bones than biological females. But again, they don't have to have gone through any sort of a transition process.
They just have to declare themselves.
Just
say
by declaration.
That's it's just
The world is almost said a bad word.
We got the first taste of winter coming up this
I heard Dan
tonight, tomorrow morning. Maybe the northwest part of the state will get a little bit of a mix over, a little change over briefly.
Dan Zarrow telling somebody about that. It's going to have, what is that, next week or a weekend? Or?
Maybe, yes. Yeah, so
this
it's
is
still
what Thursday.
But good news, we've gotten reports that the snow, the DOT and the snow crews are out there getting roads ready.
And that goes the bottom undercarriage of your car. Watch that now, really.
The briners are out there.
Way, having a car completely eaten up from the inside or from underneath by this chemical.
We've had briner sightings as far south as 295.
Briner sightings.
So you may see one on your way home.
I want to leave you with one thing.
All right.
I saw a story. There was this was in one of the Himalayan provinces, Bhutan or Nepal or one of them. There was an American on apparently some sort of an economic mission over there, and he was meeting with people in high places, and he got to meet with the king eventually. And he was pointing out to the king, and he said, gosh, I love your country. All these people are there. Everybody's smiling. Everybody's happy. Everybody's very courteous to everybody else. But says, I've noticed that they're living in what we would call sort of a poverty, a lower economic level. He said, now you can do things about this. He says, for example, you could increase your gross national product. And he was suggesting ways. And he said, in our country, we have a very high gross, what is it, domestic?
GNP.
GNP. And the king looked at him and says, yes, you have a gross, a very high gross national product. What is your gross national happiness? And I think that would stop most of us in our tracks. Think about that. Next time you go shopping, whether you're going to places Bob does or doesn't anymore, and take a look at people's faces.
Oh, no. It's just...
Everybody looks like they're ready to smack you in the mouth. I would say our gross national happiness is not very high.
No.
Work on yours this week. Yeah. Okay, be happy. Why not? As, who was it, Jim Morrison once said, you know, the musician.
The Doors.
Jim Morrison, The Doors. Says, he's talking about life. He says, no one here gets out alive. So have a good one.
Yeah. See you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.